Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We have been reflecting upon a few verses during this Lent season, and it seems to me that there is a challenge of knowing Christ and being like him. Let us pray. Lord, we have come to this place maybe happy because we have a wonderful week. We have come perhaps sad because it has been a very sad week. We come anxious because we have in our minds things that trouble us. Perhaps we come and it's another Sunday, but Father, we just want to place into your hands this time as we read your word, as we reflect upon your word. May your Holy Spirit help us to receive something new from you, Lord, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the greatest challenges I face as a pastor, or maybe you face as a Christian, is to be more of the example God wants me to be. Is to be more of the example that God wants you to be. And when I think of the greatest biblical figures that whoever lived, Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, Ruth, King David, Elijah, Jonah, and John the Baptist, Peter, and Paul, when I look at the devotion of many great Christian leaders in history, John Calvin, St. Augustine, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, it's obvious that I fall short, and maybe you fall short, but God has given us many devoted believers. It's worth following. But we need to be careful. I always say, don't look upon somebody, even upon me, I'm going to disappoint you. I am a human being. I am far from being perfect. I am not that kind of person. I am not. And I hope, is anybody here is perfect? Tell me. Teach me. Okay, wow, look at that. But you are not now. Whether you just become a Christian or you have been a Christian for so long time and you are renewing your commitment to Christ, it's good to be reminded that Christians are commanded to know Jesus. Our goal should be knowing Jesus. And there is a challenge to know Christ and being like him. In no other passage of his writing, the Apostle Paul describes so clearly, you cannot miss it, what the knowledge of Christ is. It's about the knowledge of Christ. What it means to him, and he does in this inspiring paragraph that some scholars call it the supreme passage or supreme message of the letter to the Philippians. They call it the supreme message of the letter to the Philippians. Because of this paragraph and the other expressions and other parts of the letter, it is well known this letter as the letter of the experimental knowledge of Christ. Here we read that it's not about knowing Christ, some kind of knowledge. There is something practical we should have. The experimental knowledge of Christ. And the first thing that we need to realize that our goal as Christians is to know Christ. The phrase "know Christ" resumes the thought in verse 8. So if you have your Bible, you could read a little bit before verse 10 in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. And I think James quoted, he said, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may know Christ. Paul is correcting and expanding his previous statement. Not only his inherited privilege as a Jew and his personal achievement under Jewish law, but all these things that he treasured, all these things that he prized, they are rubbish. Because the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. And I love this passage. When I was younger, I used to say, here, for me, we have three things. Religion is worthless. Power is worthless. Paul is an academic. Rubbish. Sorry. If we talk about salvation, that's what he's saying. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to study. My father asked me, you need to study and study. So God bless me with a father who is very humble. And God bless him with so much knowledge. He has many titles, but for him, it's nothing. Some people, and also background. His background of being a Jew, rubbish. And sometimes, I have all here. Religion, position, power, everything is here. And then Paul, Jesus Christ said the same. Jesus Christ in John chapter 17 verse 3, he says, now this is eternal life that they what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Knowledge. This is eternal life, that they may know you and they may know me. This is Jesus Christ. Now, all relationships start with an introduction. The introduction of Paul to Christ, most of us know, it wasn't a kind of a typical introduction. He was not seeking Christ. He was seeking those who knew Christ and loved Christ. He was on his way to kill, to arrest these women and men, followers of Christ. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He answered, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So now Paul met the risen Lord 30 years before he is writing this letter. 30 years before he met Jesus. But here, in this word, Paul is talking about his present. He's talking about his present. That I may know him now, Paul is saying. Paul is talking about sanctification. So the passage is about sanctification. It's a journey that we all are. Paul wants to know experimentally the power of Christ's resurrection. He is not thinking only on the divine power who raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the resurrected Christ. Now he's talking about the power that is supposed to work in every person who believes in Jesus. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When you receive Jesus like Paul, you have an encounter. Maybe you have a different encounter. No, like Paul, you are supposed to know, to have a new life. When you come to Christ, your mind is open. And before you used to say, there are many good people. I don't need religion. I don't want Jesus in my life. That is rubbish. I don't want to hear it. I love when people even slam the doors on me. Oh, I don't want to hear about Christianity. Most of my friends who were like that, now they like Paul, they are serving Christ. Because they are honest. I doubt it when some friends, well, I respect that. I respect your religion. I respect it. I am very suspicious about that. Paul was honest about what he believed. He thought he was serving God. But now gradually you understood about the nature of sin. You realized that your life needed to be okay, needed to be right, because God is holy, holy, holy. I need to change. Your eyes were open, and then you realized you needed Jesus Christ. You needed to repent. This is the power of the resurrection. You start gradually knowing, okay, I need to change. I am swearing too much. I am drinking too much. I am having this thing in my mind. I need to repent. The power of the resurrection. And now we see more things, you know, things more deeply. And this is maintained by prayer, Bible reading, fellowship. But the things that have dominion in you have to be destroyed. Now, this journey, Paul says, I am here, but I want to know you more, Jesus. We are all different. How many of you have the experience Paul has? Maybe one or two, isn't it? But that doesn't mean that all of us, we are going to have the same experience. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family. Maybe later you become a Christian. Maybe you have a traumatic situation, and a crisis, and you came to know Jesus Christ. But if you are truly a Christian, you know Christ personally. Personally. You don't know just about him. You know him. You know, we opened the news and I wrote something on the magazine about Luis Palau. Well, I saw him once. Billy Graham, I heard him many times. But I don't know him. I know about him. And maybe some of you, they say, well, I know that Christianity is good. No, the moment you come to Christ, you know who is him. You know about what he claims to be, that he is God, that he came, that he died for you, and he is risen. You recognize that your sins have to be forgiven. You also realize that you cannot earn heaven. You cannot tick the boxes. But you know what? I have been a minister for 25 years, 30 years. That doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. I remember in Chagwell Heath, there was in a crusade of Billy Graham, there was a testimony of a retired minister, a retired person, you know, a clergy, and he came to the Lord in one of the Billy Graham crusades. He was convicted. We have to know him personally. No facts, not just knowledge. That's the challenge. We need to cultivate. That requires time. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, when you remember when you fall in love with your wife or your husband, it amazed me that we find any time. I was looking forward to go and see Cecilia. You know, even if I was busy, I will get there. And then I was there. I don't know how my mom just said, where do you get that time from? And you are there. And you, it doesn't matter if you are working, you are studying, you have time for your loved one. You are there. You know, we have a party, and so no, I want to be with her. It's the same with our relationship with Christ. It requires cultivation, requires time. Do you often make time to spend with the Lord? How long do you spend with the Lord? Maybe sometimes you find that, okay, you just pray and go away. How much time? Because I remember being, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends, and you spend so much time together, and you start multiplying the hours. Check it out. Try to think about those times. How much time you spend with God? But there is, maybe, but what happened is, at the beginning, we try to love the Lord, but later they say, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to go to church. Oh, it's Sunday. Paul is talking about that. Have to be personal. Sometimes we do things in churches and there is no closeness, no intimacy. There is nothing from here. In our journey, we come to know God through Jesus Christ, and we come to know him through his word, which tells us of him. Hence the importance of reading and studying the Bible. But there is a word of caution here. It is possible to gain knowledge about Christ through studying the Bible, and yet not to grow to know Christ himself through his word. I have a friend who is an academic, And he read the Bible 10 times. And he's not a believer. And he said, I have read the Bible more than you. Yeah, you're right. You know what is the key? Is this. It's possible to gain this knowledge about Christ, but to study the Word. It's okay, you study the Word, but still, we cannot know Him. This is the key. Jesus, you're gonna hear this verse from me many, many times. Shall we read this together? John chapter 14, verse 21. This is the key of knowing Christ. Let's read it. Whoever. Whoever obeys my commands and keeps them is the one who knows me, who loves me. The one who loves me, the one who knows me will be loved by my Father, and I will too will love him because we know them and show myself to them. The final judgment day, he said, I know this one. I don't know that one. But Lord, I was in the church for 50 years. I don't know you, mate. I fear of that day. I fear and tremble. Because it will be scary, isn't it? But it will be wonderful when he said, I know you. Come. Because you keep my word, you obey it. You were not concerned about what people are saying. You know, this is the 21st century. No, I obey what he says in this word. If we don't know the word, we neither have nor keep Jesus' commandments, but it's possible to have them through knowledge, but not keep them. If you want Jesus to reveal himself to you, he says that you must both have and keep them. So our goal when we study the Bible is always obedience. It's always obedience to grow. To know Jesus better. I don't understand this. I don't know, Lord. I just want to know you. That's what Paul is saying. I just want to know you. Now, the second thing here is that the goal of a Christian life is to be like Christ. Paul declares, I want to know the power of the resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. When you met, you know, your future wife and your future husband, you know, when fall in love, your life is permanently changed or not. It is changed. You will never be the same. It's the same with Jesus Christ. You know, you want to know more about the history of your partner. You want to know more about her or him. And then even you change your name and you live in a different place. Your life is changed. So our life should be changed when we met the Lord Jesus because we are in love with him. To be like Jesus, we need to know the power of the resurrection. Paul came to know the power of the resurrected Christ when he met him in the road to Damascus. And then, as I said before, it's not the same, but we all have to be changed. Paul, early life was marked by religious zeal, I told you, brutal violence, and the relentless persecution of the early church. Things have to change in his life. Some people say, I don't want to come to church because I start coming when I have things on the right place. They will never come. You know why? Because that's not the way. We need to come as we are, and by the power of the resurrections, we are going to be changed. Paul was changed. This is the most horrible example. Yesterday, we had walked through the Bible, and I was thinking when Paul was explaining about, you know, Paul coming to church. Can you imagine Paul coming to church? He was coming to Penrhyl. We were there, and then Paul had been killing people, putting people into prison. 39 slash, you know, and maybe like he was saying, many people were in church, maybe they have fresh these slashes, and Paul is sitting next to them. Well, what will you do? And I never thought about that. Paul was changed. And some people say you have an addiction today. You say that you cannot. You can change. I can change. You have bitterness in your heart. You have prejudice in your heart. You can change. Because the power of the resurrection. These are not things that can be accomplished through human persuasion. Oh, let's start yoga to change. Let's start some kind of exercises to change. Let's start having a new thing in the... They require the same mighty power God that raised Christ from the dead. Not discipline, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this liturgy. No, I want to know the power of the resurrection, said Paul. Some churches said, we're going to try this new ritual. Paul have everything. And he said, I want to know the power of the resurrection. Paul is not talking about the future, for he knows that he's going to meet his Lord Jesus. He's speaking about the presence. He is talking about his presence there. Now, how can we apply this? But let's try to think about this. We can do anything. Some of you are academics. Praise the Lord. That is your gift. Some of you are good at sports and science. Some of you started their own business. Some of you are decided to work. Some of you, mom or dad. But in the middle of all these activities, we need to be aware of the standards to maintain the process of sanctification. This is the passage about sanctification. So as we have in Lent, think about those things. What you do, when you do things, we need to be aware if it's any activity is eclipsing the resurrection power. It's blocking the resurrection power. That I may know him in my present life. Today, March 2018. Remember last week, we learned that the most precious possession we have is what? Our soul. That is our most precious possession. We need to look after our spiritual life. Is this job opportunity okay for me? I'm going to check. It looks okay. The salary is that good for you? It is clean. Is this friend I'm hanging around? Is that okay? We need to assess the situation. Is this reasonable? Is wholesome? You know, there is a danger. Somebody put it like this. One of the most dangerous forms of human error is forgetting what one is trying to achieve. So we are on this journey, in our Christian life and sanctification, and gradually we need to assess. Because in the process, we could get sidetracked. We could get confused. We need to be clear and focused all the time. Everything we do, that we are living under the power of the resurrection. And what is the goal of the Christian life? Well, to be like Christ. Now, let me give you an example of how we can get sidetracked. I was trying to look for examples, and I found this. Paul is saying that we need to be careful because we could lose our goal. It is not only about knowledge. Okay, we could go down. The two prestigious universities, the University of in United States, Harvard. When Harvard was established in 1636, their statement of purpose said, look at this, every student's main aim is what? To know Jesus Christ. And to recognize that Christ is the foundation of all learning. And the universities, most of them were actually funded to train Christian preachers. Now, not only that university, the next one, when Yale was founded in 1701, they said that God is the source of all wisdom. And they require their students to attend morning and evening Christian prayer services every day. Can you imagine that today? What will happen today? The complaint. That's not politically correct. This is history. What happened to Harvard and Yale? They lost their goal in their search of knowledge. Please study your Bible. Teach me. Teach me. But don't be proud about your knowledge. Paul wasn't. Knowledge puff up, but that's a different passage. But love is required. Humility. Let's be careful on our spiritual journey in the days of the coming week. I should exercise more caution, you know, more judgment. Okay, is this okay? The person I am working on, be careful. I should reject the sinful and unprofitable if only have the power of God. But the second thing Paul says here is to be like Christ, we need to know the fellowship of his suffering. Our Savior came to suffer for our sins on the cross. His entire ministry was marked by misunderstanding, opposition, betrayal, and death. While we can never enter his suffering, we need to learn that when we are suffering, God is operating in you. God is shaping you. God is doing something with you. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to laugh at you. Maybe your family members are not going to agree with what you believe. You know, and then every one of us, God places in different circumstances, but he deals with that, with our suffering. My father says that when he was the only person in his whole family that accepted Jesus one day when he was only 10 years old, and he was baptized when he was 11. He was thrown, you know, in those days in Ecuador, when you were a Christian, you know, evangelical Christian, it was considered bad luck. He has to sleep in the church because his dad said, go away. That's true. He slept 2 weeks in the church. He was the only Christian. By the grace of God, every time they meet together, they fill up the church with his whole family. I will imagine that he suffered. I saw my grandfather when I was 8 years old, because gradually things were moving. You are going to suffer. Our Christians in countries like, Egypt and in other countries, they are getting stronger and stronger. Why? Because of suffering. Maybe we need a persecution in this land. Suffering helps us to grow. Don't preach about suffering, Freddy, because you are going to have the church empty the next Sunday. Tell them that if you come to Jesus, you know, you're going to be prosperous. And there are two sides on the coin. But now in Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus learning obedience through the things he suffered. His suffering for our sins on the cross was the ultimate test of his submission to the will of the Father. He is Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Creator, the King of Kings. He was there, obedient. And yet we are here, and we don't want to be obedient. If we are like him, we also learn to obey God through suffering. When you don't understand, do you remember the chorus we sang 2 weeks ago? Father, I place into your hands. Place into his hands. That chorus has been in my mind 2 weeks. Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot change. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. And I will imagine, well, I don't know the same word, but Paul saying, Father, I place into your hands. It was difficult for him. Romans 6. You know, says that, you know, he is dead with Jesus. One scholar put it like this: for a believer to share Christ's sufferings involves such a complete identification with him that it can only be explained as a death to the former life. People have to say, that's a new person. That's a new Andy. That's a new Ian. That's a new Freddy. That's a new Paul. The theological import of union with Christ must be experimentally demonstrated. Have to be something there. This is the process of sanctification, and is intended to bring the believer's present state, your presence, into ever increasing conformity to Christ. We need to say, Jesus, you suffered for me, you purchased my salvation, you imputed on me righteousness. I need to be grateful. In the past here, well, you all know about university tuition fee. It was free. The students start laughing. But now, okay, you have to pay. But not all of it, but you, at the end of your study, you need to pay. But can you imagine somebody comes to you and paid it all? You don't have to spend even money on transportation. We have to be grateful, listen. But instead, you receive all the money on your account and you go party. You waste it all. Or maybe somebody gave you a new house, everything, and then after 3 months they come and everything is upside down. That is what happened. Jesus paid it all. Christ suffered for you. Have you thought about it? He suffered for you. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." I die with him. There should be a change. I have been buried with him. I am alive with him. Paul is not talking about the future. He knows he's going to be with Jesus. He's speaking about his present journey. Perhaps we should say, if the next day of this coming week, when I'm going to do something, studying, working, or being a mom or a dad, I should exercise more cautious. I invite you to exercise more cautious. Be cautious. Be alert. I should reject sinful, unprofitable things, friends. If I only may have the power of the resurrection. One of the verses I like about Paul is Romans chapter 7. In chapter 7 he says, "The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't do, those are the things I..." He's on a journey. Maybe you want to do well, but that journey. But Paul says in verse 12, says, "Well, I'm not there yet. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which is Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press forward." He suffered for me. Maybe reflect about how much Jesus suffered for you. I want to be like him. I press on. In my life, when there have been things that challenge me, I give thanks to the Lord that he's gracious. And I press on. Paul received Jesus 30 years before. He said, "I want to continue to know you today, Lord, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. I press on." And as I conclude today, so what is, that's our, that should be our goal as a Christian, to become more and more like him. Is that your goal? What is your highest goal? Do we want to be money-making machine, which can never buy lasting happiness? Or do we want to become more and more like Jesus? Many of you know the story of the Titanic. But maybe you know the story of this rich lady, or maybe you don't know, who was in her cabin when the order to abandon the ship was given. There was no time for packing possessions. And then people have to rush. And she noticed two things on her dressing table. Her jewel box with expensive things there, and a bowl of oranges. She made a rapid assessment of what was most valuable to her given the urgency of the situation. Wisely, she abandoned her jewels and grabbed the oranges instead. She recognized that they may give nourishment on the open sea, whereas her jewels will be worthless to her. Likewise, we are to assess every single situation. Is this situation going to help me to grow spiritually? The goal of Christian life is to know Christ and to be like him. Are the things around us okay, or they can destroy me? I want to honor him, but we need to assess the situations. And be and listen around. Never underestimate the power of Jesus Christ. God has something for you to do for you, for His glory. But we need to establish our goal properly. As I was singing today, this was not part of what I prepared today, but I was singing, I don't know why. I remember clearly a lady in the church where my father is still the minister. And this is a poor lady. And this lady was serving the Lord. And in my mind, this lady was a holy woman. One day after many years, I understood where was, you know, where she was and the horrible past. But this was the lady. Every time I was coming, I was growing, they said, you are going to be a minister. And I carry on. But this lady showed me, in her poverty, she will save up money, she will have things to help other people. He invites me to preach to other places. She invites me. And she carries on, you are going to be a minister. And one day she said, I am sad. She said, say why? Because the Lord is going to call you. And you will not be here. But I saw her, what she did. She's now 90 plus. She's still there. My point is, when I heard about her past, which is private, I realized that the Lord can change us. And she is used. She has inspired many people. Never underestimate what the power of the resurrection can do through you. But be humble. Let's be humble. Paul is a good example. He had it all. Religion, background, knowledge, power. He considered them garbage. He just wanted to know the Lord and the power of the resurrection. May the Lord help Penrose Baptist Church to respond to the challenge of knowing Christ and being like Him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Paul. He gave us a good example of how many things we can have: knowledge, power, religion, background. But he considered them garbage. He just wanted to know you and being like you. Father, help us not to hold on upon our knowledge, our power, our background. Or maybe we could feel that, like this old lady, that she's poor and neglected, an outcast. All of us, we can be changed by the power of the resurrection. I pray for that person this morning that is thinking, I cannot change. I have been in church and I cannot change. That he may know the power of the resurrection. And this person could know you more and more and be more and more like you for your glory. Father, we place into your hands our lives. The week ahead, help us to assess the situations so we can be aware that we are called to be like you and to know you more and more every day. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. And we pray your blessing upon us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.